the 29th of October. At the office all the morning, where Mr. Wren first tells us of the order from the King, come last night to the Duke of York, for signifying his pleasure to the Solicitor General, for drawing up a commission for suspending of my Lord Anglesey, and putting in Sir Thomas Littleton and Sir Thomas Osborne, the former a creature of Arlington's and the latter of the Duke of Buckingham's, during the suspension. The Duke of York was forced to obey and did grant it, he being to go to Newmarket this day with the King, and so the King pressed for it. But Mr. Wren doth own that the Duke of York is the most wounded in this in the world, for it is done and concluded without his privity after his appearing for him, and that it is plain that they do aim to bring the Admiralty into commission too, and lessen the Duke of York. This doth put strange apprehensions into all our board, only I think I am the least troubled at it, for I care not at all for it, but my Lord Brunker and Penn do seem to think much of it. So home to dinner, full of this news, and after dinner to the office, and so home all the afternoon to do business towards my drawing up an account for the Duke of York, of the answers of this office to his late great letter, and late at it, and so to bed, with great peace from my wife and quiet, I bless God. The 30th of October. Up betimes, and Mr. Povey comes to even accounts with me, which we did, and then fell to other talk. He tells me, in short, how the King is made a child of by Buckingham and Arlington, to the lessening of the Duke of York, whom they cannot suffer to be great for fear of my Lord Chancellor's return, which therefore they make the King violent against. That he believes it is impossible these two great men can hold together long, or at least that the ambition of the former is so great that he will endeavour to master all and bring into play as many as he can. That Anglesey will not lose his place easily, but will contend in law with whoever comes to execute it. That the Duke of York, in all things but in his codpiece, is led by the nose by his wife. That William Coventry is now, by the Duke of York, made friends with the Duchess, and that he is often there and waits on her. That he doth believe that these present great men will break in time, and that William Coventry will be a great man again, for he doth labour to have nothing to do in matters of the state, and is so useful to the side that he is on, that he will stand, though at present he is quite out of play. That my Lady Castlemaine hates the Duke of Buckingham. That the Duke of York hath expressed himself very kind to my Lord Sandwich, which I'm mighty glad of. That we are to expect more changes if these men stand. This done, he and I to talk of my coach, and I got him to go see it, where he finds most infinite fault with it, both as to being out of fashion and heavy, with so good reason that I'm mightily glad of his having corrected me in it, and so I do resolve to have one of his build, and with his advice, both in coach and horses, he being the fittest man in the world for it. And so he carried me home, and said the same to my wife. So I to the office and he away, and at noon I home to dinner and all the afternoon late with Gibson at my chamber late, about my present great business. Only a little in the afternoon at the office about Sir Dennis Gordon's accounts, and so to bed and slept heartily, my wife and I at good peace, but my heart troubled and her mind not at ease, I perceive, she against and I for the girl, to whom I have not said anything these 3 days, but resolved to be mighty strange in appearance to her. This night William Batalier came and took his leave of us, he setting out for France tomorrow. The 31st of October. Up and at the office all the morning, at noon home to dinner with my people, and afternoon to the office again, and then to my chamber with Gibson to do more about my great answer for the Duke of York. And so at night, after supper, to bed, well pleased with my advance thereon. This day Lord Anglesey was at the office, and doth seem to make nothing of this business of his suspension, resolving to bring it into council, where he seems not to doubt to have right, he standing upon his defence and patent, and hath put in his caveats to the several offices, so as soon as the King comes back again, which will be on Tuesday next, He will bring it into the council. So ends this month with some quiet to my mind, though not perfect, after the greatest falling out with my poor wife, and through my folly with the girl, that ever I had, and I have reason to be sorry and ashamed of it, and more, to be troubled for the poor girl's sake, whom I fear I shall by this means prove the ruin of, though I shall think myself concerned both to love and be a friend to her. This day Roger Pepys and his son Talbot, newly come to town, came and dined with me, and mighty glad I am to see them. November 1668. The first. Lord's Day. Up and with Will Hewer at my chamber all this morning, going further in my great business for the Duke of York, and so at noon to dinner, and then Will Hewer to write fair what he had writ, and my wife to read to me all the afternoon. Till anon Mr. Gibson came, and he and I to perfect it to my full mind. And so, to supper and to bed, my mind yet at disquiet that I cannot be informed how poor Deb stands with her mistress, but I fear she will put her away, and the truth is, though it be much against my mind and to my trouble, yet I think it will be fit that she be gone, for my wife's peace and mine, for she cannot but be offended at the sight of her, my wife having conceived this jealousy of me with reason. And therefore, for that and other reasons of expense, it will be best for me to let her go. But I shall love and pity her. This noon Mr. Povey sent his coach for my wife and I to see, which we like mightily, and will endeavour to have him get us just such another. The 2nd of November. Up and a cold morning by water through bridge, without a cloak, and there to Mr. Wren at his chamber at Whitehall, the first time of his coming thither this year, the Duchess coming thither tonight. And there he and I did read over my paper that I have, with so much labour, drawn up about the several answers of the officers of this office to the Duke of York's reflections, and did debate a little what advice to give the Duke of York when he comes to town upon it. Here came in Lord Anglesey, and I perceive he makes nothing of this order for his suspension, resolving to contend and to bring it to the council on Wednesday, when the king is come to town tomorrow. And Mr. Wren doth join with him mightily in it, and doth look upon the Duke of York as concerned more in it than he. So I to visit Creed at his chamber, but his wife not come thither yet, nor doth he tell me where she is, though she be in town at Stepney, at Atkins's. So to Mr. Povey's to talk about a coach, but there I find my Lord Sandwich and Peterborough and Hinchingbrook, Charles Herbert and Sidney Montagu, and there I was stopped and dined mighty nobly at a little table, with one little dish at a time upon it, but mighty merry. I was glad to see it, but sorry, methought, to see my Lord hath so little reason to be merry, and yet glad for his sake to have him cheerful. After dinner up and looked up and down the house, and so to the cellar, and thence I slipped away without taking leave, and so to a few places about business, and among others, to my bookseller's in Duck Lane, and so home where the house still full of dirt by painters and others, and will not be clean a good while. So to read and talk with my wife till by and by called to the office about Sir William Warren's business, where we met a little, and then home to supper and to bed. This day I went by Mr. Povey's direction to a coachmaker near him, for a coach just like his, but it was sold this very morning. The 3rd of November. Up and all the morning at the office, at noon to dinner, and then to the office, and there busy till 12 at night, without much pain to my eyes, but I did not use them to read or write, and so did hold out very well. So home and there to supper, and I observed my wife to eye my eyes whether I did ever look upon Deb, which I could not but do now and then, and to my grief did see the poor wretch look on me, and see me look on her, and then let drop a tear or two, which doth make my heart relent at this minute that I'm writing this, with great trouble of mind, for she is indeed my sacrifice, poor girl. And my wife did tell me in bed, by the by, of my looking on other people, and that the only way is to put things out of sight. And this, I know, she means by Deb, for she tells me that her aunt was here on Monday, and she did tell her of a desire of parting with Deb. But in such kind terms on both sides that my wife is mightily taken with her. I see it will be, and it is, but necessary, and therefore, though it cannot but grieve me, yet I must bring my mind to give way to it. We had a great deal of do this day at the office about Clutterbuck, I declaring my dissent against the whole board's proceedings, and I believe I shall go near to show William Penn a very knave in it, whatever I find my Lord Brunker. The 4th of November. Up and by coach to Whitehall, and there I find the King and Duke of York come the last night, and everybody's mouth full of my Lord Anglesey's suspension being sealed, which it was, it seems, yesterday. So that he is prevented in his remedy at the council, and it seems the two new treasurers did kiss the King's hand this morning, brought in by my Lord Arlington. They walked up and down together the court this day, and several people joyed them. But I avoided it that I might not be seen to look either way. This day also I hear that my Lord Ormond is to be declared in council no more Deputy Governor of Ireland, his commission being expired, and the King is prevailed with to take it out of his hands, which people do mightily admire, saying that he is the greatest subject of any prince in Christendom, and hath more acres of land than any, and hath done more for his prince than ever any yet did. But all will not do, he must down, it seems, the Duke of Buckingham carrying all before him. But that troubles me most is that they begin to talk that the Duke of York's regiment is ordered to be disbanded, and more, that undoubtedly his Admiralty will follow, which doth shake me mightily, and I fear will have ill consequences in the nation, for these councils are very mad. The Duke of York doth, by all men's report, carry himself wonderful submissive to the King, in the most humble manner in the world, but yet it seems nothing must be spared that tends to the keeping out of the Chancellor, and that is the reason of all this. The great discourse now is that the Parliament shall be dissolved, and another called, which shall give the King, the Dean, and Chapters lands, and that will put him out of debt. And it is said that Buckingham doth knownly meet daily with Wildman and other Commonwealth's men, and that when he is with them he makes the King believe that he is with his wenches. And something looks like the Parliament's being dissolved by Harry Brunker's being now come back, and appears this day the first day at Whitehall, but hath not been yet with the King, but is secure that he shall be well received, I hear. God bless us when such men as he shall be restored, but that pleases me most is that several do tell me that Penn is to be removed, and others that he hath resigned his place, and particularly Spragg tells me for certain that he hath resigned it, and is become a partner with Gordon in the Victualling, in which I think he hath done a very cunning thing, but I'm sure I'm glad of it, and it will be well for the King to have him out of this office. Thence, by coach, doing several errands, home, and there to dinner, and then to the office, where all the afternoon till late at night, and so home. Deb hath been abroad today with her friends, poor girl, I believe toward the getting of a place. This day a boy has sent me out of the country from Impington by my cousin Roger Pepys's getting, whom I visited this morning at his chamber in the Strand, and carried him to Westminster Hall, where I took a turn or two with him and Sir John Talbot, who talks mighty high for my Lord of Ormond, and I perceive this family of the Talbots hath been raised by my Lord. When I came home tonight, I find Deb not come home, and do doubt whether she be not quite gone or no, but my wife is silent to me in it, and I to her. But fell to other discourse, and indeed am well satisfied that my house will never be at peace between my wife and I, unless I let her go, though it grieves me to the heart. My wife and I spent much time this evening talking of our being put out of the office, and my going to live at Deptford at her brother's, till I can clear my accounts and rid my hands of the town, which will take me a year or more, and I do think it will be best for me to do so, in order to our living cheap, and out of sight. The 5th of November. Up and Willett came home in the morning, and God forgive me, I could not conceal my content thereat, by smiling, and my wife observed it. But I said nothing, nor she, but away to the office. Presently up by water to Whitehall, and there all of us to wait on the Duke of York, which we did, having little to do, and then I up and down the house, till by and by the Duke of York, who had bid me stay, did come to his closet again, and there did call in me and Mr. Wren, and there my paper that I've lately taken pains to draw up was read, and the Duke of York pleased therewith, and we did all along conclude upon answers to my mind for the board, and that if I put in execution will do the King's business. But I do now more and more perceive the Duke of York's trouble, and that he doth lie under great weight of mind from the Duke of Buckingham's carrying things against him, and particularly when I advised that he would use his interest that a seaman might come into the room of William Penn, who is now declared to be gone from us, to that of the victualling, and did show how the office would now be left without one seaman in it, but the surveyor and the controller, who is so old as to be able to do nothing. He told me plainly that I knew his mind well enough as to seamen, but that it must be as others will. And Wren did tell it me as a secret, that when the Duke of York did first tell the King about Sir William Penn's leaving of the place, and that when the Duke of York did move the King that either Captain Cox or Sir Jeremy Smith might succeed him, the King did tell him that that was a matter fit to be considered of, and would not agree to either presently, and so the Duke of York could not prevail for either, nor knows who it shall be. The Duke of York did tell me himself that if he had not carried it privately when first he mentioned Penn's leaving his place to the King, it had not been done, for the Duke of Buckingham and those of his party do cry out upon it, as a strange thing to trust such a thing into the hands of one that stands accused in Parliament, and that they have so far prevailed upon the King that he would not have him named in council, but only take his name to the board. But I think he said that only Dennis Gordon's name shall go in the patent, at least at the time when Sir Richard Brown asked the King the names of Dennis Gordon's security, the King told him it was not yet necessary for him to declare them. And by, when the Duke of York and we had done, and Wren brought into the closet Captain Cox and James Temple about business of the Guinea Company, and talking something of the Duke of Buckingham's concernment therein, "Nay," says the Duke of York, "I will give the devil his due, as they say. The Duke of Buckingham hath paid in his money to the company," or something of that kind, wherein he would do right to him. The Duke of York told me how these people do begin to cast dirt upon the business that passed the council lately, touching supernumeraries, as passed by virtue of his authority there being not liberty for any man to withstand what the Duke of York advises there, which he told me they bring only as an argument to insinuate the putting of the Admiralty into commission, which by all men's discourse is now designed, and I perceive the same by him. This being done and gone from him, I up and down the house to hear news, and there everybody's mouth full of changes, and among others that the Duke of York's regiment of guards, that was raised during the late war at sea, is to be disbanded, and also that this day the King doth intend to declare that the Duke of Ormond is no more deputy of Ireland, but that he will put it into commission. This day our new treasurers did kiss the King's hand, who complimented them, as they say, very highly, that he had for a long time been abused in his treasure, and that he was now safe in their hands. I saw them walk up and down the court together all this morning, the first time I ever saw Osborne, who is a comely gentleman. This day I was told that my Lord Anglesey did deliver a petition on Wednesday in council to the King, laying open that whereas he had heard that His Majesty had made such a disposal of his place, which he had formerly granted him for life upon a valuable consideration, and that, without anything laid to his charge, and during a Parliament session, he prayed that His Majesty would be pleased to let his case be heard before the council and the judges of the land, who were his proper counsel in all matters of right, to which, I am told, the King, after my Lord's being withdrawn, concluded upon his giving him an answer some few days hence, and so he was called in and told so, and so it ended. Having heard all this, I took coach and to Mr. Povey's, where I hear he has gone to the Swede's resident in Covent Garden, where he is to dine. I went thither, but he has not come yet, so I to Whitehall to look him, and up and down walking there I met with Sir Robert Holmes, who, asking news, I told him of Sir William Penn's going from us, who catched at it so as my heart misgives me that he will have a mind to it, which made me heartily sorry for my words. But he invited me and would have me go to dine with him at the Treasurer's, Sir Thomas Clifford, where I did go and eat some oysters, which, while we were at, in comes my Lord Keeper and much company, and so I thought it best to withdraw, and so away into the Swede's agent's, and there met Mr. Povey, where the agent would have me stay and dine, there being only them and Joseph Williamson and Sir Thomas Clayton. But what he is, I know not. Here much extraordinary noble discourse of foreign princes, and particularly the greatness of the King of France, and of his being fallen into the right way of making that kingdom great, which none of his ancestors ever did before. I was mightily pleased with this company and their discourse, so as to have been seldom so much in all my life, and so, after dinner, up into his upper room, and there did see a piece of perspective, but much inferior to Mr. Povey's. Thence, with Mr. Povey, spent all the afternoon going up and down among the coachmakers in Cow Lane, and did see several, and at last did pitch upon a little chariot, whose body was framed but not covered, at the widow's that made Mr. Lowther's fine coach. And we are mightily pleased with it, it being light, and will be very gent and sober to be covered with leather, but yet will hold four. Being much satisfied with this, I carried him to Whitehall, and so by coach home, where give my wife a good account of my day's work, and so to the office, and there late, and so to bed. The 6th of November. Up and presently my wife up with me, which she professly now doth every day to dress me, that I may not see Willett, and doth eye me whether I cast my eye upon her or no, and doth keep me from going into the room where she is among the upholsters at work in our blue chamber. So abroad to Whitehall by water, and so on for all this day, as I have by mistake set down in the 5th day after this mark, in the room of which I should have said that I was at the office all the morning, and so to dinner my wife with me, but so as I durst not look upon the girl, though God knows, notwithstanding all my protestations, I could not keep my mind from desiring it. After dinner to the office again, and there did some business, and then by coach to see Roger Pepys at his lodgings, next door to Arundel House, a barber's, and there I did see a book which my Lord Sandwich hath promised one to me of, a description of the Escurial in Spain, which I have a great desire to have, though I took it for a finer book when he promised it me. With him to see my cousin Turner and Theophila, and there sat and talked, they being newly come out of the country, and here pretty merry, and with Theophila to show her a coach at Mr. Povey's man's, she being in want of one, and so back again with her, and then home by coach, with my mind troubled and finding no content, my wife being still troubled, nor can be at peace while the girl is there, which I am troubled at on the other side. We passed the evening together, and then to bed and slept ill, she being troubled and troubling me in the night with talk and complaint upon the old business. This is the day's work of the 5th, though it stands under the 6th, my mind being now so troubled that it is no wonder that I fall into this mistake more than ever I did in my life before. The 7th of November. Up and at the office all the morning, and so to it again after dinner, and there busy late, choosing to employ myself rather than go home to trouble with my wife, whom, however, I am forced to comply with, and indeed I do pity her, as having cause enough for her grief. So to bed, and there slept ill because of my wife. This afternoon I did go out towards Sir Dennis Gordon's, thinking to have bespoke a place for my coach and horses, when I have them, at the victualling office, but find the way so bad and long that I returned and looked up and down for places elsewhere in an inn, which I hoped to get with more convenience than there. The 8th of November, Lord's Day. Up and at my chamber all the morning, setting papers to rights with my boy, and so to dinner at noon, the girl with us. But my wife troubled thereat to see her, and doth tell me so, which troubles me, for I love the girl. At my chamber again to work all the afternoon till night, when Pelling comes, who wonders to find my wife so dull and melancholy, but God knows she hath too much cause. However, as pleasant as we can, we sup together, and so made the boy read to me, the poor girl not appearing at supper, but hides herself in her chamber, so that I could wish in that respect that she was out of the house, for our peace is broke to all of us while she is here. And so, to bed, where my wife mighty unquiet all night, so as my bed is become burdensome to me. The 9th of November. Up, and I did, by a little note which I flung to Deb, advise her that I did continue to deny that ever I kissed her, and so she might govern herself. The truth is that I did adventure upon God's pardoning me this lie, knowing how heavy a thing it would be for me to be the ruin of the poor girl, and next knowing that if my wife should know all, it were impossible ever for her to be at peace with me again, and so our whole lives would be uncomfortable. The girl read, and as I bid her, returned me the note, flinging it to me in passing by, and so I abroad by coach to Whitehall, and there to the Duke of York's, to wait on him, who told me that Sir William Penn had been with him this morning to ask whether it would be fit for him to sit at the office now, because of his resolution to be gone, and to become concerned in the victualling. The Duke of York answered, "Yes, till his contract was signed." Thence I to Lord Sandwich, and there to see him, but was made to stay so long, as his best friends are, and when I came to him so little pleasure, his head being full of his own business, I think, that I have no pleasure to give him. Thence to Whitehall with him to the Committee of Tangier, a day appointed for him to give an account of Tangier and what he did and found there, which though he had admirable matter for it, and his doings there was good and would have afforded a noble account, yet he did it with a mind so low and mean, and delivered in so poor a manner, that it appeared nothing at all, nor anybody seemed to value it, whereas he might have shown himself to have merited extraordinary thanks, and been held to have done a very great service. Whereas now, all the cost the king hath been at for his journey through Spain thither seems to be almost lost. After we were up, Creed and I walked together and did talk a good while of the weak report my lord made, and were troubled for it, I fearing that either his mind and judgment are depressed, or that he doth it out of his general neglect, and so may fear that he doth all the rest of his affairs accordingly. So I stayed about the court a little while, and then to look for a dinner, and had it at Hercules Pillars very late, all alone, costing me 10p, and so to the excise office, thinking to meet Sir Stephen Fox and the cofferer. But the former was gone, and the latter I met going out, but nothing done, and so I to my bookseller's, and also to Crowe's, and there saw a piece of my bed, and find it will please us mightily. So home, and there find my wife troubled, and I sat with her talking, and so to bed, and there very unquiet all night. The 10th of November. Up, and my wife, still every day as ill as she is all night, will rise to see me outdoors, telling me plainly that she dares not let me see the girl. And so I out to the office, where all the morning, and so home to dinner, where I find my wife mightily troubled again, more than ever, and she tells me that it is from her examining the girl, and getting a confession now from her of all, even to the very tocando sooth thing with my hand, which doth mightily trouble me, as not being able to foresee the consequences of it as to our future peace together. So my wife would not go down to dinner, but I would dine in her chamber with her, and there, after mollifying her as much as I could, we were pretty quiet and ate. And by and by comes Mr. Holyard, and dines there by himself after we had dined, and he being gone, we to talk again, and she to be troubled, reproaching me with my unkindness and perjury, I having denied my ever kissing her, as also with all her old kindnesses to me, and my ill-using of her from the beginning, and the many temptations she hath refused out of faithfulness to me, whereof several she was particular in, and especially from my Lord Sandwich by the solicitation of Captain Ferrer, and then afterward the courtship of my Lord Hinchingbroke, even to the trouble of his lady. All which I did acknowledge and was troubled for, and wept, and at last pretty good friends again. And so I to my office, and there late, and so home to supper with her, and so to bed. Where after half an hour's slumber she wakes me, and cries out that she should never sleep more, and so kept raving till past midnight, that made me cry and weep heartily all the while for her, and troubled for what she reproached me with as before, and at last with new vows, and particularly that I would myself bid the girl be gone and show my dislike to her, which I shall endeavour to perform, but with much trouble. And so, this appeasing her, we to sleep as well as we could till morning. The 11th of November. Up and my wife with me as before, and so to the office, where by a special desire the new treasurers came and there did show their patent and the great seal for the suspension of my Lord Anglesey. And here did sit and discourse of the business of the office, and brought Mr. Hutchinson with them, who, I hear, is to be their paymaster in the room of Mr. Waithe. For it seems they do turn out every servant that belongs to the present treasurer, and so for Fenn do bring in Mr. Littleton, Sir Thomas's brother, and out all the rest. But Mr. Hutchinson doth already see that his work now will be another kind of thing than before, as to the trouble of it. They gone, and indeed they appear both of them very intelligent men, I home to dinner and there with my people dined, and so to my wife, who would not dine with me that she might not have the girl come in sight, and there sat and talked a while with her, and pretty quiet, I giving no occasion of offence, and so to the office, and then by coach to my cousin Roger Pepys, all this belongs to tomorrow's in the afternoon, who did, at my last being with him this day se'nnight, move me as to the supplying him with £500 this term, and £500 the next, for 2 year upon a mortgage, he having that sum to pay, a debt left him by his father, which I do agree to, trusting to his honesty and ability, and am resolved to do it for him, that I may not have all I have lie in the king's hands. Having promised him this, I returned home again, where to the office, and there, having done, I home and to supper and to bed, where after lying a little while, my wife starts up and with expressions of affright and madness, as one frantic, would rise, and I would not let her but burst out in tears myself, and so continued almost half the night, the moon shining so that it was light, and after much sorrow and reproaches and little ravings, though I am apt to think they were counterfeit from her, and my promise again to discharge the girl myself, all was quiet again, and so to sleep. The 12th of November. Up and she with me as heretofore, and so I to the office, where all the morning, and at noon to dinner, and Mr. Waithe, who being at my office about business, I took him with me to talk and understand his matters, who is in mighty trouble from the Committee of Accounts, about his contracting with this office for sailcloth. But no hurt can be laid at his door in it, but upon us for doing it, if any, though we did it by the Duke of York's approval. And by him I understand that the new treasurers do intend to bring in all new instruments. And so, having dined, we parted, and I to my wife, and to sit with her a little, and then called her and Willett to my chamber, and there did, with tears in my eyes, which I could not help, discharge her, and advise her to be gone as soon as she could, and never to see me, or let me see her more while she was in the house, which she took with tears too, but I believe understands me to be her friend. And I am apt to believe, by what my wife hath of late told me, is a cunning girl, if not a slut. Thence, parting kindly with my wife, I away by coach to my cousin Roger, according as by mistake, which the trouble of my mind for some days hath occasioned in this, and another case a day or two before, is set down in yesterday's notes. And so, back again, and with Mr. Gibson, late at my chamber, making an end of my draft of a letter for the Duke of York, in answer to the answers of this office, which I have now done to my mind, so as, if the Duke of York likes it, will, I think, put an end to a great deal of the faults of this office, as well as my trouble for them. So to bed, and did lie now a little better than formerly, with but little, and yet with some, trouble. The 13th of November. Up and with Sir William Penn by coach to Whitehall, where to the Duke of York, and there did our usual business, and thence I to the Commissioners of the Treasury, where I stayed and heard an excellent case argued between my Lord Gerard and the town of Newcastle, about a piece of ground which that lord hath got a grant of under the Exchequer Seal, which they were endeavouring to get of the King under the Great Seal. I liked mightily the counsel for the town, Shafto, their recorder, and Mr. Offley, but I was troubled, and so the lords, to hear my lord fly out against their great pretence of merit from the King for their sufferings and loyalty, telling them that they might thank him for that repute which they have for their loyalty, for that it was he that forced them to be so, against their wills, when he was there. And moreover did offer a paper to the lords to read from the town, sent in 1648, but the lords would not read it, but I believe it was something about bringing the King to trial or some such thing in that year. Thence I to the Three Tuns Tavern by Charing Cross, and there dined with William Penn, Sir John Minnis, and Commissioner Middleton, and as merry as my mind could be, that hath so much trouble upon it at home. And thence to Whitehall, and there stayed in Mr. Wren's chamber with him, reading over my draft of a letter, which Mr. Gibson then attended me with, and there he did like all, but doubted whether it would be necessary for the Duke to write in so sharp a style to the office as I had drawn it in, which I yield to him, to consider the present posture of the times and the Duke of York, and whether it were not better to err on that hand than the other. He told me that he did not think it was necessary for the Duke of York to do, and that it would not suit so well with his nature nor greatness, which last, perhaps, is true, but then doth too truly show the effects of having princes in places where order and discipline should be. I left it to him to do as the Duke of York pleases, and so fell to other talk, and with great freedom of public things. And he told me, upon my several inquiries to that purpose, that he did believe it was not yet resolved whether the Parliament should ever meet more or no, the three great rulers of things now standing thus. The Duke of Buckingham is absolutely against their meeting, as moved thereto by his people that he advises with, the people of the late times, who do never expect to have anything done by this Parliament for their religion, and who do propose that by the sale of the church lands they shall be able to put the King out of debt. My Lord Keeper is utterly against putting away this and choosing another Parliament, lest they prove worse than this and will make all the King's friends and the King himself in a desperate condition. My Lord Arlington knows not which is best for him, being to seek whether this or the next will use him worst. He tells me that he believes that it is intended to call this Parliament and try them with a sum of money, and if they do not like it, then to send them going, and call another who will, at the ruin of the church perhaps, please the King with what he will for a time. And he tells me, therefore, that he doth believe that this policy will be endeavoured by the church and their friends, to seem to promise the King money when it shall be propounded, but make the King and these great men buy it dear before they have it. He tells me that he is really persuaded that the design of the Duke of Buckingham is, by bringing the state into such a condition as, if the King doth die without issue, it shall, upon his death, break into pieces again, and so put by the Duke of York, who they have disobliged, they know, to that degree as to despair of his pardon. He tells me that there is no way to rule the King but by briskness, which the Duke of Buckingham hath above all men, and that the Duke of York, having it not, his best way is what he practices, that is to say, a good temper, which will support him till the Duke of Buckingham and Lord Arlington fall out, which cannot be long. First, the former, knowing that the latter did, in the time of the Chancellor, endeavour with the Chancellor to hang him at that time when he was proclaimed against. And here, by the by, he told me that the Duke of Buckingham did, by his friends, treat with my Lord Chancellor, by the mediation of Matt Wren and Matt Clifford, to fall in with my Lord Chancellor, which, he tells me, he did advise my Lord Chancellor to accept of, as that with his own interest and the Duke of York's, would undoubtedly have secured all to him and his family. but that my Lord Chancellor was a man not to be advised, thinking himself too high to be counselled. And so all is come to nothing, for by that means the Duke of Buckingham became desperate and was forced to fall in with Arlington, to his ruin. Thence I home and there to talk with great pleasure all the evening with my wife, who tells me that Deb hath been abroad today, and is come home and says she hath got a place to go to, so as she will be gone tomorrow morning. This troubled me, and the truth is, I have a great mind for to have the maidenhead of this girl, which I should not doubt to have if you could get time para be con her. But she will be gone, and I know not whither. Before we went to bed, my wife told me she would not have me to see her, or give her her wages, and so I did give my wife £10 for her year, and half a quarter's wages, which she went into her chamber and paid her. And so to bed, and there, blessed be God, we did sleep well and with peace, which I had not done in now almost 20 nights together. This afternoon I went to my coachmaker and Crowe's, and there saw things go on to my great content. This morning at the Treasury Chamber I did meet Jack Fenn, and there he did show me my Lord Anglesey's petition and the King's answer. The former, good and stout, as I before did hear it, but the latter, short and weak, saying that he was not, by what the King had done, hindered from taking the benefit of his laws, and that the reason he had to suspect his mismanagement of his money in Ireland did make him think it unfit to trust him with his treasure in England till he was satisfied in the former. The 14th of November. Up and had a mighty mind to have seen or given a note to Deb, or to have given her a little money, to which purpose I wrapped up 40 shillings in a paper, thinking to give her, but my wife rose presently and would not let me be out of her sight, and went down before me into the kitchen, and came up and told me that she was in the kitchen, and therefore would have me go round the other way, which she repeating, and I vexed at it, answered her a little angrily, upon which she instantly flew out into a rage, calling me dog and rogue, and that I had a rotten heart, all which, knowing that I deserved it, I bore with, and word being brought presently up that she was gone away by coach with her things, my wife was friends, and so all quiet, and I to the office with my heart sad, and find that I cannot forget the girl, and vexed I know not where to look for her, and more troubled to see how my wife is by this means likely for ever to have her hand over me, that I shall for ever be a slave to her, that is to say, only in matters of pleasure, but in other things she will make her business, I know, to please me, and to keep me right to her, which I will labour to be indeed, for she deserves it of me, though it will be, I fear, a little time before I shall be able to wear Deb out of my mind. At the office all the morning, and merry at noon at dinner, and after dinner to the office, where all the afternoon, and doing much business late, my mind being free of all troubles, I thank God, but only for my thoughts of this girl which hang after her. And so, at night, home to supper, and there did sleep with great content with my wife. I must here remember that I have lain with my mujer, as a husband, more times since this falling out, than in, I believe, 12 months before. And with more pleasure to her, than I think in all the time of our marriage before. The 15th of November, Lord's Day. Up after long lying with pleasure talking with my wife, and then up to look up and down our house, which will, when our upholster hath done, be mighty fine. And so to my chamber, and there did do several things among my papers, and so to the office to write down my journal for 6 or 7 days, my mind having been so troubled as never to get time to do it before, as may appear a little by the mistakes I have made in this book within these few days. At noon comes Mr. Shepley to dine with me, and Will Howe, and there dined and pretty merry, and so after dinner Will Howe to tell me what hath happened between him and the commissioners of late, who are hot again more than ever, about my Lord Sandwich's business of prizes, which I am troubled for, and the more because of the great security and neglect, which I think my Lord doth look upon this matter, that may yet, for aught I know, undo him. They gone, and Balty, being come down from the Downs not very well, is come this day to see us, I to talk with him, and with some pleasure hoping that he will make a good man, I in the evening to my office again to make an end of my journal, and so home to my chamber with Will Hewer to settle some papers, and so to supper and to bed, with my mind pretty quiet, and less troubled about Deb than I was, though yet I am troubled, I must confess, and would be glad to find her out, though I fear it would be my ruin. This evening there came to sit with us Mr. Pelling, who wondered to see my wife and I so dumpish, but yet it went off only as my wife's not being well, and, poor wretch, she hath no cause to be well, God knows. The 16th of November. Up and by water to Whitehall, and there at the Rope Chamber at a committee for Tangier, where some of us, my Lord Sandwich, Sir William Coventry, and myself, with another or two, met to debate the business of the mole, and there draw up reasons for the King's taking of it into his own hands, and managing of it upon accounts with Sir Hugh Cholmondeley. This being done, I away to Holborn about Whetstone's Park, where I never was in my life before, where I understand, by my wife's discourse, that Deb is gone, which doth trouble me mightily, that the poor girl should be in a desperate condition forced to go thereabouts. And there, not hearing of any such man as Alban, with whom my wife said she now was, I to the Strand, and there, by sending of Drumbleby's boy, my flageolet maker, to Eagle Court, where my wife also by discourse lately let fall that he did lately live, I found that this Dr. Alban is a kind of a poor broken fellow that dare not show his head, nor be known where he is gone, but to Lincoln's Inn Fields I went, to Mr. Povey's, but missed him, and so hearing only that this Alban is gone to Fleet Street, I did only call at Martin's, my bookseller's, and there bought Cassandra, and some other French books for my wife's closet. And so home, having ate nothing but 2 pennyworth of oysters opened for me by a woman in the Strand, while the boy went to and again to inform me about this man, and therefore home and to dinner, and so all the afternoon at the office, and there late, busy, and so home to supper, and pretty pleasant with my wife, to bed, and rested pretty well. The 17th of November. Up and to the office all the morning, where the new treasurers came their second time, and before they sat down did discourse with the board, and particularly my Lord Brunker, about their place which they challenge, as having been heretofore due and given to their predecessor, which at last my Lord did own it hath been given him only out of courtesy to his quality, and that he did not take it as of right at the board. So they for the present sat down and did give him the place, but I think with an intent to have the Duke of York's directions about it. My wife and maids busy now to make clean the house above stairs, the upholsters having done there in her closet and the blue room, and are mighty pretty. At my office all the afternoon, and at night busy, and so home to my wife and pretty pleasant, and at mighty ease in my mind, being in hopes to find Deb, and without trouble or the knowledge of my wife. So to supper at night and to bed. The 18th of November. Lay long in bed talking with my wife, she being unwilling to have me go abroad, being and declaring herself jealous of my going out, for fear of my going to Deb, which I do deny, for which, God forgive me, for I was no sooner out about noon, but I did go by coach directly to Somerset House, and there inquired among the porters there for Dr. Alban, and the first I spoke with told me he knew him, and that he was newly gone into Lincoln's Inn Fields, but whither he could not tell me, but that one of his fellows, not then in the way, did carry a chest of drawers thither with him, and that when he comes he would ask him. This put me in some hopes, and I to Whitehall and thence to Mr. Povey's, but he at dinner, and therefore I away and walked up and down the Strand between the 2 turnstiles, hoping to see her out of a window, and then employed a porter, one Osbaston, to find out this doctor's lodgings thereabouts, who by appointment comes to me to Hercules Pillars, where I dined alone, but tells me that he cannot find out any such, but will inquire further. Thence back to Whitehall, to the Treasury a while, and thence to the Strand, and towards night did meet with the porter that carried the chest of drawers with this doctor, but he would not tell me where he lived, being his good master, he told me, but if I would have a message to him, he would deliver it. At last I told him my business was not with him, but a little gentlewoman, one Mistress Willett, that is with him, and sent him to see how she did from her friend in London, and no other token. He goes while I walk in Somerset House, walk there in the court. At last he comes back and tells me she is well, and that I may see her if I will, but no more. So I could not be commanded by my reason, but I must go this very night, and so by coach, it being now dark, I to her, close by my tailor's, and there she came into the coach to me, and yo did bezar her, and tocar her thing. But ella was against it, and laboured with much earnestness, such as I believe to be real, and yet at last yo did make her tener mi cosa in her mano, while mi mano was sobre her pectus, and so did hacer with grand delight. I did nevertheless give her the best counsel I could, to have a care of her honour, and to fear God, and suffer no man para haver to do con her, as yo have done, which she promised. Yo did give her 20 shillings and directions para lasse sealed in paper at any time the name of the place of her being, at Herringman's, my bookseller, in the change, by which I might go para her, and so bid her good night with much content to my mind and resolution to look after her no more till I heard from her, and so home, and there told my wife a fair tale, God knows, how I spent the whole day, with which the poor wretch was satisfied, or at least seemed so. And so to supper and to bed, she having been mighty busy all day in getting of our house in order against tomorrow, to hang up our new hangings and furnishing our best chamber. The 19th of November. Up and at the office all the morning with my heart full of joy to think in what a safe condition all my matters now stand between my wife and Deb and me, and at noon running upstairs to see the upholsters, who are at work upon hanging my best room and setting up my new bed, I find my wife sitting sad in the dining-room, which, inquiring into the reason of, she begun to call me all the false, rotten-hearted rogues in the world, letting me understand that I was with Deb yesterday, which, thinking impossible for her ever to understand, I did a while deny, but at last did, for the ease of my mind and hers, and for ever to discharge my heart of this wicked business, I did confess all. And above stairs in our bedchamber there I did endure the sorrow of her threats and vows and curses all the afternoon, and, which was worst, she swore by all that was good that she would slit the nose of this girl, and be gone herself this very night from me, and did there demand 300 or 400 pounds of me to buy my peace, that she might be gone without making any noise, or else protested that she would make all the world know of it. So, with the most perfect confusion of face and heart, and sorrow and shame, in the greatest agony in the world, I did pass this afternoon, fearing that it will never have an end. But at last I did call for Will Hewer, who I was forced to make privy now to all, and the poor fellow did cry like a child, and obtained what I could not, that she would be pacified upon condition that I would give it under my hand, never to see or speak with Deb while I live, as I did before of Pierce and Nip, and, which I did also, God knows, promise for Deb too, but I have the confidence to deny it to the perjuring of myself. So, before it was late, there was, beyond my hopes as well as desert, a tolerable peace. And so to supper and pretty kind words, and to bed, and there yo did hacer con ella to her content, and so with some rest spent the night in bed, being most absolutely resolved, if ever I can master this bout, never to give her occasion, while I live, of more trouble of this, or any other kind, there being no curse in the world so great as this of the difference between myself and her. And therefore I do, by the grace of God, promise never to offend her more, and did this night begin to pray to God upon my knees alone in my chamber, which God knows I cannot yet do heartily, but I hope God will give me the grace more and more every day to fear him, and to be true to my poor wife. This night the upholsters did finish the hanging of my best chamber, but my sorrow and trouble is so great about this business, that put me out of all joy in looking upon it or minding how it was. The 20th of November. This morning up with mighty kind words between my poor wife and I, And so to Whitehall by water, Will Hewer with me, who is to go with me everywhere until my wife be in condition to go out along with me herself, for she doth plainly declare that she dares not trust me out alone, and therefore made it a piece of our league that I should alway take somebody with me, or her herself, which I am mighty willing to, being by the grace of God resolved never to do her wrong more. We landed at the Temple, and there I did bid him call at my cousin Roger Pepys's lodgings, and I stayed in the street for him, and so took water again at the Strand Stairs, and so to Whitehall. In my way, I telling him plainly and truly my resolutions, if I can get over this evil, never to give new occasion for it. He is, I think, so honest and true a servant to us both, and one that loves us, that I was not much troubled at his being privy to all this, but rejoiced in my heart that I had him to assist in the making us friends, which he did do truly and heartily, and with good success, for I did get him to go to Deb, to tell her that I had told my wife all of my being with her the other night, that so, if my wife should send, she might not make the business worse by denying it. While I was at Whitehall with the Duke of York, doing our ordinary business with him, he being also the first time the new treasurer's, Will Hewer did go to her and come back again, and so I took him into St. James's Park, and there he did tell me he had been with her, and found what I said about my manner of being with her true, and had given her advice as I desired. I did there enter into more talk about my wife and myself, and he did give me great assurance of several particular cases, to which my wife had from time to time made him privy, of her loyalty and truth to me, after many and great temptations, and I believe them truly. I did also discourse the unfitness of my leaving of my employment now in many respects, to go into the country as my wife desires, but that I would labour to fit myself for it, which he thoroughly understands, and doth agree with me in it, and so, hoping to get over this trouble, we about our business to Westminster Hall, to meet Roger Pepys, which I did, and did there discourse of the business of lending him £500, to answer some occasions of his, which I believe to be safe enough, and so took leave of him and away by coach home, calling on my coachmaker by the way, where I like my little coach mightily. But when I came home, hoping for a further degree of peace and quiet, I find my wife upon her bed in a horrible rage afresh, calling me all the bitter names, and rising, did fall to revile me in the bitterest manner in the world, and could not refrain to strike me or pull my hair, which I resolved to bear with, and had good reason to bear it. So I, by silence and weeping, did prevail with her a little to be quiet, and she would not eat her dinner without me, and yet, by and by, into a raging fit, she fell again worse than before, that she would slit the girl's nose. And at last Will Hewer came in, and came up, who did allay her fury, I flinging myself in a sad, desperate condition upon the bed in the blue room, and there lay while they spoke together. And at last it came to this, that if I would call Deb whore under my hand, and write to her that I hated her, and would never see her more, she would believe me and trust in me. Which I did agree to, only as to the name of whore I would have excused, and therefore wrote to her sparing that word, which my wife thereupon tore it, and would not be satisfied till Will Hewer, winking upon me, I did write so, with the name of a whore, as that I did fear she might too probably have been prevailed upon to have been a whore by her carriage to me, and therefore as such I did resolve never to see her more. This pleased my wife, and she gives it Will Hewer to carry to her, with a sharp message from her. So from that minute my wife begun to be kind to me, and we to kiss and be friends, and so continued all the evening, and fell to talk of other matters with great comfort, and after supper to bed. This evening comes Mr. Billup to me to read over Mr. Wren's alterations of my draft of a letter for the Duke of York to sign, to the board, which I like mighty well, they being not considerable, only in mollifying some hard terms which I had thought fit to put in. From this to other discourse, I do find that the Duke of York and his master, Mr. Wren, do look upon this service of mine as a very reasonable service to the Duke of York, as that which he will have to show to his enemies in his own justification of his care of the King's business. And I am sure I am heartily glad of it, both for the King's sake, and the Duke of York's, and my own also. for if I continue, my work by this means will be the less, and my share in the blame also. He being gone, I to my wife again, and so spent the evening with very great joy, and the night also, with good sleep and rest. My wife only troubled in her rest, but less than usual, for which the God of heaven be praised. I did this night promise to my wife never to go to bed without calling upon God upon my knees by prayer, and I begun this night, and hope I shall never forget to do the like all my life, for I do find that it is much the best for my soul and body to live pleasing to God and my poor wife, and will ease me of much care as well as much expense. The 21st of November. Up with great joy to my wife and me, and to the office, where Will Hewer did most honestly bring me back that part of my letter under my hand to Deb, wherein I called her whore, assuring me that he did not show it her, and that he did only give her to understand that wherein I did declare my desire never to see her, and did give her the best Christian counsel he could, which was mighty well done of him. But by the grace of God, though I love the poor girl and wish her well, as having gone too far toward the undoing her, yet I will never inquire after or think of her more, my peace being certainly to do right to my wife. At the office all the morning and after dinner abroad with Will Hewer to my Lord Ashley's, where my Lord Berkeley and Sir Thomas Ingram met upon Mr. Povey's account, where I was in great pain about that part of his account, wherein I'm concerned, above £150, I think, and Creed hath declared himself dissatisfied with it, so far as to desire to cut his examinatur out of the paper, as the only condition upon which he would be silent in it. This Povey had the wit to yield to, and so when it came to be inquired into, I did avouch the truth of the account as to that particular, of my own knowledge, and so it went over as a thing good and just, as indeed in the bottom of it it is, though in strictness perhaps it would not so well be understood. This committee rising, I with my mind much satisfied herein, I away by coach home, setting Creed into Southampton Buildings, and so home, and there ended my letters, and then home to my wife, where I find my house clean now from top to bottom, so as I have not seen it many a day, and to the full satisfaction of my mind, that I am now at peace as to my poor wife, as to the dirtiness of my house, and as to seeing an end, in a great measure, of my present great disbursements upon my house and coach and horses. The 22nd of November, Lord's Day. My wife and I lay long, with mighty content, and so rose, and she spent the whole day making herself clean, after 4 or 5 weeks being in continued dirt, and I knocking up nails and making little settlements in my house, till noon, and then ate a bit of meat in the kitchen I all alone, and so to the office to set down my journal, for some days leaving it imperfect, the matter being mighty grievous to me, and my mind from the nature of it. And so in to solace myself with my wife, whom I got to read to me, and so Will Hewer and the boy, and so after supper to bed. This day my boy's livery is come home, the first I ever had of green lined with red, and it likes me well enough. The 23rd of November. Up and called upon by Will Howe, who went with Will Hewers with me by water to the temple. His business was to have my advice about a place he is going to buy, the clerk of the patents place, which I understand not, and so could say little to him, but fell to other talk, and setting him in at the temple, we to Whitehall, and there I to visit Lord Sandwich, who is now so reserved, or moped rather, I think, with his own business, that he bids welcome to no man, I think, to his satisfaction. However, I bear with it, being willing to give him as little trouble as I can, and to receive as little from him, wishing only that I had my money in my purse that I have lent him. But, however, I show no discontent at all. So to Whitehall, where a committee of Tangier expected, but none met. I met with Mr. Povey, who I discoursed with about public business, who tells me that this discourse, which I told him of the Duke of Monmouth being made Prince of Wales, hath nothing in it, though he thinks there are all the endeavours used in the world to overthrow the Duke of York. He would not have me doubt of my safety in the Navy, which I am doubtful of from the reports of a general removal, but he will endeavour to inform me what he can gather from my Lord Arlington. That he doth think that the Duke of Buckingham hath a mind rather to overthrow all the kingdom and bring in a commonwealth, wherein he may think to be general of their army, or to make himself king, which he believes he may be led to by some advice he hath had with conjurers which he doth affect. Thence with Will Hewer, who goes up and down with me like a jailer, but yet with great love and to my great good liking, it being my desire above all things to please my wife therein. I took up my wife and boy at Unthanks, and from thence to Hercules Pillars, and there dined, and thence to our upholsters about some things more to buy, and so to see our coach, and so to the looking-glass man's by the new exchange, and so to buy a picture for our blue chamber chimney, and so home. And there I made my boy to read to me most of the night, to get through The Life of the Archbishop of Canterbury. At supper comes Mary Batalier, and with us all the evening prettily talking, and very innocent company she is. And she gone, we with much content to bed and to sleep, with mighty rest all night. The 24th of November. Up and at the office all the morning, and at noon home to dinner, where Mr. Gentleman, the cook, and an old woman, his third or fourth wife, comes and dined with us to inquire about a ticket of his son's that is dead. And after dinner I with Mr. Hosier to my closet to discourse of the business of balancing storekeepers' accounts, which he hath taken great pains in reducing to a method, to my great satisfaction. And I shall be glad, both for the king's sake and his, that the thing may be put in practice, and will do my part to promote it. That done, he gone, I to the office, where busy till night, and then with comfort to sit with my wife, and get her to read to me, and so to supper and to bed, with my mind at mighty ease. The 25th of November. Up and by coach with Will Hewer to see Will Coventry, but he gone out, I to Whitehall, and there waited on Lord Sandwich, which I have little encouragement to do, because of the difficulty of seeing him, and the little he hath to say to me when I do see him, or to anybody else but his own idle people about him, Sir Charles Herbert, etc. Thence walked with him to Whitehall, where to the Duke of York, and there the Duke of York and Wren and I, by appointment in his closet, to read over our letter to the office, which he heard and signed it, and it is to my mind, Matthew Wren having made it somewhat sweeter to the board, and yet with all the advice fully that I did draw it up with. He said little more to us now, his head being full of other business, but I do see that he doth continue to put a value upon my advice, and so Matthew Wren and I to his chamber and there talked, and he seems to hope that these people, the Duke of Buckingham and Arlington, will run themselves off of their legs, they being forced to be always putting the king upon one ill thing or other against the easiness of his nature, which he will never be able to bear, nor they to keep him to, and so will lose themselves. And for instance of their little progress, he tells me that my Lord of Ormond is like yet to carry it, and to continue in his command in Ireland. At least they cannot get the better of him yet. But he tells me that the keeper is wrought upon, as they say, to give his opinion for the dissolving of the Parliament, which he thinks will undo him in the eyes of the people. He doth not seem to own the hearing or fearing of anything to be done in the Admiralty, to the lessening of the Duke of York, though he hears how the town talks full of it. Thence I by coach home, and there find my cousin Roger come to dine with me, and to seal his mortgage for the £500 I lent him. But he and I first walked to the change, there to look for my Uncle White, and get him to dinner with us. So home, buying a barrel of oysters at my old oyster woman's in Gracious Street, but over the way to where she kept her shop before. So home, and there merry at dinner, and the money not being ready, I carried Roger Pepys to Holborn Conduit, and there left him going to Stradwick's, whom we avoided to see because of our long absence, and my wife and I to the Duke of York's house to see the Duchess of Malfi, a sorry play, and sat with little pleasure for fear of my wife seeing me look about, and so I was uneasy all the while, though I desire and resolve never to give her trouble of that kind more. So home, and there busy at the office a while, and then home, where my wife to read to me, and so to supper and to bed. This evening, to my great content, I got Sir Richard Ford to give me leave to set my coach in his yard. The 26th of November. Up and at the office all the morning, where I was to have delivered the Duke of York's letter of advice to the board, in answer to our several answers to his great letter, but Lord Brunker not being there, and doubtful to deliver it before the new treasurers, I forbore it to next sitting. So home at noon to dinner, where I find Mr. Pierce and his wife, but I was forced to show very little pleasure in her being there, because of my vow to my wife, and therefore was glad of a very bad occasion for my being really troubled, which is Will Hewer's losing of a tally of £1,000 which I sent him this day to receive of the Commissioners of Excise, so that though I hope at the worst I shall be able to get another, yet I made use of this to get away as soon as I had dined, and therefore out with him to the Excise office to make a stop of its payment, and so away to the coachmaker's and several other places, and so away home and there to my business at the office, and thence home, and my wife to read to me, and Will Hewer to set some matters of accounts right at my chamber. To bed. The 27th of November. Up and with Will Hewer to see Will Coventry again, but missed him again by coming too late, the man of the world that I am resolved to preserve an interest in. Thence to Whitehall, and there at our usual waiting on the Duke of York, and that being done, I away to the Exchequer to give a stop and take some advice about my lost tally, wherein I shall have some remedy with trouble. And so home, and there find Mr. Povey by appointment to dine with me, where a pretty good dinner, but for want of thought in my wife it was but slovenly dressed up. However, much pleasant discourse with him, and some serious, and he tells me that he would by all means have me get to be a Parliament man the next Parliament, which he believes there will be one, which I do resolve of. By and by comes my cousin Roger and dines with us, and after dinner did seal his mortgage, wherein I do wholly rely on his honesty, not having so much as read over what he hath given me for it, nor minded it, but do trust to his integrity therein. They all gone, I to the office, and there a while, and then home to ease my eyes, and make my wife read to me. The 28th of November. Up and all the morning at the office, where, while I was sitting, one comes and tells me that my coach is come. So I was forced to go out, and to Sir Richard Ford's, where I spoke to him, and he is very willing to have it brought in and stand there. And so I ordered it, to my great content, it being mighty pretty, only the horses do not please me, and therefore resolved to have better. At noon, home to dinner, and so to the office again all the afternoon, and did a great deal of business, and so home to supper and to bed, with my mind at pretty good ease, having this day presented to the board the Duke of York's letter, which I perceive troubled Sir William Penn, he declaring himself meant in the part that concerned excuse by sickness. But I do not care, but am mightily glad that it is done, and now I shall begin to be at pretty good ease in the office. This morning, to my great content, Will Hewer tells me that a porter is come, who found my tally in Holborn, and brings it him, for which he gives him 20 shillings. The 29th of November, Lord's Day. Lay long in bed with pleasure with my wife, with whom I have now a great deal of content, and my mind is in other things also mightily more at ease, and I do mind my business better than ever, and am more at peace, and trust in God I shall ever be so, though I cannot yet get my mind off from thinking now and then of Deb. But I do, ever since my promise a while since to my wife, pray to God by myself in my chamber every night, and will endeavour to get my wife to do the like with me ere long, but am in much fear of what she hath lately frighted me with about her being a Catholic, and dare not therefore move her to go to church, for fear she should deny me. But this morning of her own accord she spoke of going to church the next Sunday, which pleases me mightily. This morning my coachman's clothes comes home, and I like my livery mightily, and so I all the morning at my chamber, and dined with my wife, and got her to read to me in the afternoon, till Sir William Warren, by appointment, comes to me, who spent 2 hours or three with me about his accounts of Gothenburg, which are so confounded that I doubt they will hardly ever pass without my doing something, which he desires of me, and which, partly from fear and partly from unwillingness to wrong the king, and partly from its being of no profit to me, I am backward to give way to, though the poor man doth indeed deserve to be rid of this trouble that he hath lain so long under, from the negligence of this board. We afterward fell into other talk, and he tells me, as soon as he saw my coach yesterday, he wished that the owner might not contract envy by it, but I told him it was now manifestly for my profit to keep a coach, and that after employments like mine for 8 years, it were hard if I could not be justly thought to be able to do that. He gone, my wife and I, to supper, and so she to read and made an end of the Life of Archbishop Laud, which is worth reading, as informing a man plainly in the posture of the church, and how the things of it were managed with the same self-interest and design that every other thing is, and have succeeded accordingly. So to bed.